This is The North, a podcast from the People's Powerhouse. And we're coming to you live from the City of Light Stadium in Sunderland at the third annual People's Powerhouse Convention. There's 250 of us gathered here today, from community groups, young people and practitioners, to policymakers, opinion formers, businesses and MPs. We're all here under one roof to co-create a plan to put the people at the centre of the Northern Powerhouse plans.
Today is about being together, really. The point is, today, this is the North.
I'm your host, Vic Elizabeth Turnbull, and I want you to think of this podcast episode as your one-stop shop to understanding what exactly is the People's Powerhouse, how it works, and most importantly, how you can get involved. So, in the next half hour, you'll hear from Edna Robinson, the chair of the People's Powerhouse.
So it started as a protest movement.
I speak to Sunderland City Council CEO, Patrick Mellier, and their leader, Graham Miller, about what it means to bring the convention to the North East.
Sunderland's just a great city. Quality of life, it's people, we're hardworking, but we're fun and we enjoy life.
We then dig deeper into why People's Powerhouse is needed, with some key people working across the heart of our civil society.
Most people feel very, very distant from decisions that are made about their lives and any sense of being able to influence power or exercise power.
And finally, you'll hear from just some of the 250 delegates here today about why they're backing the People's Powerhouse.
The People's Powerhouse allows us to come together and all talk and amplify our own voices. At the moment, you feel like you're shouting in an empty room.
First of all, let's find out what exactly is the People's Powerhouse. And I cannot think of a better person to tell you all that than the chair of the People's Powerhouse. This is Edna Robinson.
The People's Powerhouse is a platform where people can get together to share ideas and think about the future identity of the North. It's also a technology platform where people can connect electronically, don't always have to be face-to-face, and it's a social movement around creating an identity where we want a better devolved infrastructure in the North, and we don't just want a few people making that decision. There was a catalyst at the start of the People's Powerhouse, and it was driven by visual images of males in a room announcing a Northern Powerhouse and going together on conference stages and talking about the future. And so it started on social media that people were saying, well, where are the women? Where's the diversity in the conversation? And so it started as a Twitter conversation and a protest movement, you might say. And it's matured, and we're now into our third year, and we're really creating a network across the North of people who want to see a better devolution. The purpose of today's event is to get people together from across the North to both celebrate what they're doing, to re-energise them in terms of making new friends, new connections, also permeating new ideas and reinforcing what our messages are in the coming year. I think the physical coming together is crucial. People are emotional most of the time. We're either happy, angry, frustrated, isolated, overbusy. Drawing a breath and coming together just to reinforce face-to-face what our principles are, learn new things, re-energise ourselves, and also organise. So it is about organising our message. So today is us having a yearly event in a wonderful part of the North. So we're kind of remobilising and re-energising ourselves.
That was Edna Robinson, the People's Powerhouse Chair, and you're listening to This is the North, a podcast from the People's Powerhouse. Now, we are in Sunderland today, and who better to speak to about this brilliant city and what it means to bring the People's Powerhouse here than the people that run it?
I'm Patrick Mellier, Chief Executive of Sunderland Council.
Councillor Graham Miller, Leader of Sunderland Council.
Why do you think it's important that today's event has come to Sunderland?
It's important because it is identifying that the North East is part of the North. We've had this conversation from government where the North seems to stop, dare I say it, at Manchester and Leeds. And that is missing a huge trick. The North goes all the way up, obviously, to the Scottish border. For Sunderland to host the third convention, I thought was a statement by us as a city that we wanted to be supportive of the whole process of what the People's Powerhouse is about. So to basically do that and have such a great venue like the Stadium of Light, full of people who have come here to engage with what we're about and that ethos of people first and how we work better and stronger together. So I think it was a statement of intent by the city to say that we will engage, this is very important to us, the North is everybody, and we will be part of that conversation.
It's just great that actually we can showcase the city. We want to show that we are part of the Northern Powerhouse. Actually, when you look at the assets we have as a city, we are an important part of the Northern Powerhouse. We are a huge manufacturing base, 50,000 people just in the supply chain of the automotive sector. But actually, we've got some great people, and our people, as Graham said earlier today, are part of the Northern Powerhouse. We are the Northern Powerhouse. We have to be in there. So I think it's a great opportunity to showcase the city, but also a real opportunity for the city to learn from the rest of the North.
You're going to love this question. What is so great about the North East? What are we celebrating today?
Oh, what's great about the Northeast? Sunderland's just a great city. We are a city by the sea. We've got a fantastic coastline. Our natural assets in terms of parks and open spaces are fantastic. We are a safe city. There's very little crime, antisocial behaviour. So for not a lot of money, you can have a great quality of life. We have some great businesses, some real entrepreneurs. That goes across the Northeast. The Northeast in terms of quality of life, it's people, you've heard us talking today, the banter we have, that goes across our everyday lives with everyone we interact with, is about let's have some fun, let's work hard. I think it just sums us up as we're hardworking, but we're fun and we enjoy life.
The Northeast, in my opinion, is a sleeping giant. We've been massively underinvested in by government for many, many years. The opportunities that investing in the Northeast, investing in the Northwest as well, because it's just as underinvested in. To do that investment, to give the potential economic uplift for the country, the Northeast is the exporting heart and lungs for the UK. We are a net maker of money. We need to basically make government aware that they must invest in the people up here. And it's that old stereotype of working hard and playing hard, but that is genuinely what the people in the North are about. If we can get government to understand that their commitment to us is just to enable us to help ourselves. We're not asking for charity. We just need them to understand that they must give us a similar level of investment that they've given to the South. That's only fair. This is why we have this massive gap and inequality between the North and the South. If they do that, as a region, the North will fly. Because I've got no doubt and I've got absolute faith in the people of the North that we will deliver great jobs and great future jobs.
Patrick Mellier and Graham Miller from Sunderland City Council there, talking about what makes the North East a great place to live, work and play. Coming up on this episode of This Is The North, you'll hear from a bunch of civil leaders who've spent their whole professional lives working in the heart of our communities, and they tell you why they think a people's powerhouse is so very needed. Now I speak to a woman who's been organising this convention for months. I get 5 minutes of her time to find out how the people are at the forefront of the People's Powerhouse movement. This is Stephanie Riches, the coordinator for the People's Powerhouse. We've heard earlier from Edna how it all came about. Can you tell me more about how the People's Powerhouse is framed, how it's shaped?
We have a charter, so that's come out of conversations that we had in 2018 with lots of the people that will have been attending the event today. And that charter is basically 6 foundations or building blocks to what we believe will be transformative to people's lives and people's communities. So the first one is a louder voice. The second is genuine diversity and inclusion. The third, respect for identity. The fourth, meaningful change. The fifth, real fairness. And the sixth, more trust. There is kind of more comprehensive information on our website about what we mean by by those things. And what we basically ask people to do is to sign up to that charter. So if they believe, like we do, that those things are important to our institutions, they're important behaviours, they're important things that our politicians should be kind of living by, and they think that their organisation or them as an individual can commit to those foundations, we would ask them to sign up to that charter. And then through that, we can basically build a bigger voice across the north of people that are saying that those things are important to them. It's interesting when you look at a lot of visions, missions, goals that organisations all set for themselves, but how much of that is actually connecting with people, or has that been decided on a board away day in a load of people with suits on, and how much does that resonate with people? So as much as our charter does sound quite regal, it absolutely is a collaboration in the way in which it's been formed.
So it really is a movement that has been shaped by the people.
Absolutely. I mean, we would consider ourselves to be the amplification of that voice, but in the way in which we're structured is very much not about what we think, but how can we gather those people's voices, how can we galvanise people, and how can we make sure that people feel as though they're part of something and that we can amplify issues that happen in communities, and not just issues, but how do we meaningfully move to a position of solving some of those issues.
A big thanks to Stephanie, who's now rushing off to do some serious conferencey things. And we'll hear from Stephanie again a little bit later on. Coming up after this, I grab some of the delegates here today and ask them why they're back in the People's Powerhouse. But first, it's a chance to hear from a bunch of key civil leaders from across the UK about why they think the People's Powerhouse movement is so very much needed.
I'm Nazir Afzal. I'm on the board of People's Powerhouse. Previously, I was Chief Crown Prosecutor for the North West of England and the Chief Executive of the country's Police and Crime Commissioners.
Which part of the Charter speaks most to you?
The one around voice. I've spent my career trying to give the vulnerable people a voice, people who previously not been listened to, and shining a light on their concerns and acting upon their concerns. And so I'm desperately keen to give people a voice, or to give them the platform where they can speak. They often tell me they have a voice, but nobody's listening. So it's not just about giving them a platform, it's actually acting upon what it is that they tell you.
Why do we need a People's Powerhouse?
There's a significant gap. You have the Northern Powerhouse, which is all about business enterprise. You have all manner of chambers of commerce, where people of particular backgrounds and wealth and position are in making decisions for the North. But time and time again, you find the citizen excluded from those conversations. There's also issues around diversity. Even if they are on a group, they may be the only BME person on that group, for example. They may be the only woman on that group. And that's something that needs to be challenged. So you can't make good decisions unless you are listening to everybody that's impacted upon by them. And so it's absolutely key that you have the People's Powerhouse and organizations like it, which give voice to those who are voiceless.
What's great about the North? Why are we celebrating it?
Well, I lived half my life in Birmingham, the other half of my life in London, and I've been in the North now for the last 8 or 9 years. I came here for quality of life. I came here because I wanted to know who my neighbours were. I wanted to know that my children were safe, that they had opportunities, all of those things. And the North gives you that. Here in the North, people actually seem to care about their communities. Really, that is something you cannot buy. You cannot simply pretend you've got it. You can't replicate it anywhere else. It is an extraordinary part of the world.
The right answer.
Hi, I'm Michael Taylor. I run a think tank at Manchester Metropolitan University. It's called Metropolis. And we look to project the university's really good work into great projects that are happening around Greater Manchester and the wider North. I think we should always celebrate the North. We've got this great divide in our country between this amazing international city that's the envy of the world, which is London, which, you know, I lived in for 10 years. I've got a lot of affection for it, but it's like the Death Star. You know, it sucks in so much life. You go to countries like Germany, their financial system's in Frankfurt, their commercial centre is in Munich, their centre of government is in Berlin and its heritage, whereas all of those things, it's all in London. So rather than create more Londons around the rest of the country, we should look at actually what we've got, which is an amazing asset, which is the rest of the country and the people of the North, the places where amazing art, amazing music, but also some of the great inventions of the 19th and 20th centuries were made in the North. That's our heritage, but it's got to be part of our future as well. And Great things are coming out of our universities. We've got to make that relevant. We can't be citadels. We can't be ivory towers in our communities. We've got to engage with everybody. There needs to be a massive reset and a transformation, and that can happen in the cities of the north.
My name is Heather Peake Morrison. I'm artist director of Studio Morrison, which is a studio that I run with my partner.
What has been lost from civic life that needs to return?
We could just make a list. Public squares, bandstands, civic dining rooms, cricket grounds, bowling greens, youth clubs, community centres, winter gardens, allotments, let me think, skate parks, lidos. Well, anyway, you get the gist. Oh, libraries. Yeah, we haven't got any anymore. We don't build them anymore. They're a part of our civic life. Why are places gone that allow us to meet and allow an activity to take place which becomes a conduit for conversation? There's no shared understanding of who's responsible for them, but I would say it's entirely political to get rid of all of our civic life. If our civic life isn't there, then it means that we can't meet, then it means that we don't have any power. You have to keep peeling back the layers in terms of quite how our civic life has been eroded. It's quite complicated. It's like people saying, oh, we've got a library, but nobody uses it. But you might have a library that's open hours that don't suit you and have books in that are not interesting anymore. One of the things is to think about the quality of our civic communities. So the quality of the books that we have, it's not just about providing books that you can buy in Tesco's for 99p. It's actually about providing extraordinary, high quality literature for people and opening it up to them as well. It's really a horribly patronising way to treat people. They don't need aesthetic and quality and deep learning and understanding of philosophy and poetry and all those things that we actually do need in our lives.
So I'm Vidya Alex and I'm the Chief Executive of Power to Change. We're an independent trust set up to drive forward community business across England. Fundamentally, I think what's been lost is people's sense of connection to power, in that there's lots of specific things that have been lost. We've lost services, we've lost buildings, we've lost a whole range of things. But I think most people feel very, very distant from decisions that are made about their lives and any sense of being able to influence power or exercise power. So what needs to return is that connection. And I think what's emerging is some ways in which people can much more directly can have power alongside more traditional representative forms of democracy. And I think we do need both. People need to be able to more actively participate as well as voting at elections every 4 years.
When I was prosecuting cases, people used to say to me, why do you expect us to speak up on behalf of victims or the vulnerable? And I kept saying, it's not about being a whistleblower or a grass, it's about being a neighbour. We are and should be a nation of neighbours. That's something we have seriously lost. We used to care about the children next door. We used to look after the elderly person at the bottom of the street. We knew who our grocers were. We shared so much. And that's something that, as a country, we have lost. And we need to regain it big time, because isolation is really kicking in, particularly amongst our young, particularly when they go online. But when they come to the real world, they struggle with relationships. They struggle with dealing with tension, and tension often escalates and hostility arises. In part, it's the reason why we have so much violent crime now, and knife crime in particular, because young people just don't know how to engage with other young people. And that's why, unless we talk, unless we have conversations, unless we have places where people can have these conversations, we are on a hide into nothing.
So I think the real value of People's Powerhouse is to try and get different voices, different experience at the table when important decisions are made. So we at Power to Change really believe that people are experts by experience, that they have the knowledge and the experience to shape a lot of what should be happening in their place, in their around their future. But all too often, the decisions that happen that do shape those things are decisions that happen without them. People's Powerhouse is a really important vehicle for trying to do that in the North. So that's why we at Power to Change have supported this conference and what People's Powerhouse are doing.
What happens when you don't get representative decision-making and representative conversations with power?
More often than not, you just get decisions that don't actually achieve the ends that they're intended to, because you don't actually understand. If you don't understand people's lives and the experiences that they have, how could you possibly shape a growth agenda to be inclusive if you'd have no idea what people's day-to-day experience of life is and of the labour market and all of these other things? So unless we fully really understand that by bringing people around the table, we're never going to really make enough progress towards things like the inclusive economy. So the language is all there, but actually the people who need to shape those decisions, half of them absent from the table at the moment.
I think the People's Powerhouse is massively important because it presses reset and it starts to say that this concept of the Northern Powerhouse is not people in London and Manchester with power doing something to people. And I love Edna Robinson's narrative on this, is we've created a movement, not a structure. We're a group of people inspired by the idea that the capabilities of human beings to be able to organise, demand and self-govern our lives and transform things for the better is amazing. And why we've gathered here in Sunderland today is to unleash that and to find the tools that we may have in our midst that we know how to deploy them to create a better North, and one that's not just the hard infrastructure and not just categorise this as, you know, we're just the softies putting the elastoplast on the bits that don't quite fit.
You excited?
Yeah, really. Yeah, you can tell, can't you? Yeah.
A big thanks to Nazia, Vidya, Heather and Michael, who you've just heard from. We're coming to the end of this episode of the This is the North podcast, live from the People's Powerhouse Convention in Sunderland. Now, there's been 23 different workshops here today. A People's Powerhouse communal choir, art exhibitions, poems, a metro mayor and over 250 delegates. Now, I'd speak to just some of the people who've travelled from across the country to be here today. Even some from, dare I say, the South. They'll tell you why they're back in the People's Powerhouse and what they're taking home from today's event.
I'm from Manchester, work for GMCVO. Organisation looks after lots of membership charities.
Why do you think the People's Powerhouse is important?
The People's Powerhouse allows us to come together and all talk and amplify our own voices. At the moment, you feel like you're shouting in an empty room.
Sandra King from the Community Foundation for Tynemere in Northumberland. I think the People's Powerhouse is important because it just gives lots of different people from lots of different communities and different backgrounds a voice to help to shape how our vision for the north of England, and very much from the grassroots upwards rather than top down from London.
John Beaney from Sunderland City Council. I think the People's Powerhouse is important because it's about communities across the north coming together, talking to one another, listening to one another and learning from one another, sharing experience that can be applied across the north.
So I'm Jane Eckford and I've had a long career in public service. I'm a local government director. I have been supporting the People's Powerhouse since that first Twitter spat in 2017. And I think the People's Powerhouse is really so important in people just getting more confident in telling people what they're doing in their communities. I'm conscious that 60p in every pound of funding has been withdrawn from local government. And we're still trying to do the things that we as career public servants have always wanted to do for our public, but almost with our hands tied behind our back. And now we see social enterprises and community groups stepping into the void.
I'm Sanji Ratnatunga and I run my own business, Ideas for Change. It's an economic development consultancy. What I think is really valuable about it is it's very inclusive and it's really engaging in the way that it invites people's views and opinions. It's not a talking shop, it's a lot about action and about participation, which I really love about it.
I'm Carrie Deacon. I work at an organisation called Nesto, which is an innovation foundation that supports ideas to change the world for good. I love it. I think it's a really meaningful engagement of people, showing how that actually change can't be done to people, it has to be done with and by them, and a really powerful demonstration of a different narrative, including people at the heart of it.
Hi, my name's Debs. I'm from an organisation called Forget Me Not Wellbeing. We do various activities in the community. We're based in Sunderland. I think it's really filling a gap, especially from my perspective, working within communities, about getting people together, making the North a really great place for us all to be proud working.
My name's Joel Sinyard. I'm Partnerships Development Executive at a charity called Action Foundation. So we work with vulnerable asylum seekers and refugees, primarily in Newcastle and Sunderland. I think it's very important to hear the voice of asylum seekers and refugees who are often underrepresented when it comes to hearing their views on public services.
My name's Stephanie. I run a company called Maketopia and we're based in Leeds, and we're a community interest company that uses maker culture and creative technology to approach the issue of climate change and inequality. I think it's important because it's meeting people on their level and it's not a hierarchical thing, and I don't feel like people have an agenda with it. You know, everyone's here on behalf of their organisations and stuff, but it's because they want to find out how to connect with other people. The more that you can bring people's ideas into these spaces and take findings back out into those communities, then the less people feel like they're being shut out of the conversation.
My name's Andrew Clark. I work for Luminate. We're a funding organisation focusing on civic empowerment, and I'm based in Manchester. I think it's a really interesting response to an important political process around the Northern Powerhouse to ensure that people play a really central role in the way that we see the North as a political and social project. So it's one thing to have our leaders leading the way, but unless people are involved, and more than involved, unless people are driving that process of regeneration and decentralisation and taking back control, I think we're going to be in trouble.
So I'm Mike Wild. I'm the chief exec at MAC, which is the organisation that supports all the charities and voluntary and community and social enterprise groups in Manchester. Communities are made of people, and organisations are made of people, and basically everything we do as a human species is made of people. And too many of our institutions try and design that out. And I think if we're going to recapture a sense of what we are as people, as a country, as communities, we need to design some of that back in. And that's what, to me, the People's Powerhouse is about doing. It's about getting people back involved in shaping the future and deciding, you know, is this the direction that we want to go in? Because basically we've quite seriously falling out with each other, quite a lot of people. And I think this is a space where we could maybe do something new and rebuild something.
What are you taking away from today's event then?
What I've learned as a southerner who's lived in the north for most of my life is really about the strength of the north and the strength and the passion that exists in the north for the north, but also reflecting as a southerner how the London-centric view tends to overlook the North and patronise the North and imposes upon the North what it thinks is best or doesn't impose anything. It's really about that importance of the North coming together, one voice, and making that case clearly to the rest of the country, I think.
Lots of people have a lot in common as well as a lot of difference. And the People's Powerhouse thing could be a space where we get better at that, because at the moment it's like, you've got that wrong, you said that wrong, I'm really offended. Or you're on my side and everybody else is against us and everything's become binary. I think that's what's good about spaces like this. They give us a chance to talk and maybe get to somewhere we wouldn't have gone on our own. It's a space where everybody's coming in saying, yeah, we want to do something, we don't quite know what. I love the idea of people having half-formed thoughts that they want help with. Spaces like this are where we come up with answers.
What I think is really interesting is different alternative narratives that are emerging, both challenging the economy and how we include people, thinking about climate, obviously a wealth of really creative ideas. And I think the way it's been put together as well is really spectacular, really showcasing the wealth of creativity across the North and taking that as a great message back.
There's been some really brilliant projects, activities and inspirational programs that people are delivering that we're able to learn from and look at how we can take from that and do that in our own place, really. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of different people here. There's a lot of variety here. Yeah, different voices. And I think getting consensus is going to be hard, but I think it's something that I think we as a North can do better than most, to be perfectly honest.
I think one of the big things for me is there's real power in processes that are rooted in community. Although the last few years have seen a lot of communities really struggling because of a lack of finance coming, that's from central government, which is sort of drying up a lot of funding, maybe this is a moment for like radical change after a period of real division. This is the time to start rewriting the rules, and let's move to something like a people's convention that looks at the constitution, because if we're not going to change now, when are we ever going to change?
I've met some really interesting people and the workshops have been amazing. Some of the tips that I've picked up that I can take into my own practice. I was at a particular talk about engaging with men in the community through art, and I thought, I never thought of that. That's where I'm going wrong. So hopefully I can go back and now get a room full of men to do art.
Oh, thank you. I'll end it on that note. Thank you very much.
I love how everyone is so excited by what happens next. We're at the end of the event and this podcast episode. Have you enjoyed what you've heard? Are you now a People's Powerhouse fan? Are you dying to know how you can get involved? So, before we get off, I grab Stephanie again to tell you more.
So Stephanie, just grabbing you before you head off. It's the end of the event. Big well done, by the way, for organising such a stellar event, bringing all these people together. It's been amazing. How do you think it's gone? What have you got out of today?
I think it's gone really well. I'm really pleased with the atmosphere that we've had today. I think people have felt excited, energised, relaxed. And I think those things basically bring the best out in people. So I've seen a lot of networking, a lot of collaboration, a lot of people learning, sharing, all of the things that are important. As a collective, we can move towards trying to transform people's lives in the North.
Honestly, if I had a pound for every time someone had mentioned the word sharing and collaboration and partnerships and working together, I'd be walking out of this place a millionaire now. So well done. That is just capturing the essence of the People's Powerhouse so well. Now, if you are listening to this at home or you listen to this at work or on your way to work and you're thinking, I love the sound of this People's Powerhouse. It's something that I want to get involved with, something that I want to get on board with. How can we?
So we have been running a series of local events. They're not run by us, but they're locally led. And people can apply for up to £500 funding from us to run an event in their area that can be as big or as small as you want it to be. We've had some absolutely fantastic events that have had only 6 or 7 people there. It's about the quality of conversation. So have a look on our website. You can see already there the 14 that we've already run. So if you've got some ideas, we're always looking for something different and new, please get in touch. So events are a really great way of bringing people together, but they're not the only way that people can kind of get in touch with us and get involved in our work. Have a look at the charter, sign the charter if that's something that resonates with you. Join our mailing list, so we send a newsletter out once a month, and just get in touch. I mean, my personal email address is stephanie@peoplespowerhouse.org.uk. I'm always really, really keen and pleased when people get in touch with me to tell me about the fantastic work that they're doing in the North. The more we know, the more we share, the more we gather that intelligence together as a collective, the stronger our voice will be.
And all the information can be found on the People's Powerhouse website, which is, Stephanie,
www.peoplespowerhouse.org.uk.
Hey, you're a natural at this.
That's it for this episode of This is the North, a podcast by the People's Powerhouse. Remember, if you want to get involved, head to peoplespowerhouse.org.uk. This podcast has been made possible through funding from the RSA. Discover more at the rsa.org. This is the North. The People's Powerhouse podcast is a Mike Media production and is presented and produced by me, Vic Elizabeth Turnbull.